Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Fred Bell Health Science and Energy Show on New Year's Eve. Boy, that's always a good time to do a show, isn't it, New Year's Eve? We'll just push the new year right in for some of the listeners out there. Some of you already are there. So that's pretty amazing. Anyway, we're going to have an interesting show tonight. And we're going to be talking about remote viewing and holographic projectors and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure most of you have looked at the front page of the Pyradyne.com website and noticed that we're having more energy with the Stargate. And what's happening here now is that because of where we are in the precession of the equinox, and as I've explained many times, for new listeners, that's as we rotate around the Pleiades, our atomic structure reaches a higher vibratory rate in which time starts to compress for those that are a part of time. There are many people that are not part of time. They're out of sync, and these are the ones that are being faded out or phased out in consciousness. As you can see, a lot of people in this world are going unconscious now. So for those that have the clarity, the vortexes around the world, the vortexes start to increase their intensity and their vibration. And when this happens, any kind of a cell structure or a living organism that comes within contact of these various structures will be affected by it in a gross manner. And if you look at the pictures of the Stargate, you'll see that when it first opens in the living room there in the light, it first forms like a pyramid-shaped trapezoid, and then it moves into a tunnel. And it starts drawing all that energy into the tunnel, and the tunnel is swirling around. You can see it quite clearly. And the tunnel where you would be standing is you're inside of it. That's the opening part that we were showing on the website. It'd take up the whole front page of your computer to show the inside of it. Some of you that will come to my seminar will probably experience it. If it opens that night, it usually has. The first time it opened in 3 years was about a couple of months ago when we filmed that television special here for Viacom, and Martin Sargent, the host, was drawn into it. Previous to that, it had been several years, and most people have had dramatic experiences in it years ago. Xenia Seberg, the actress, was so far drawn into it that we had to actually revive her. We had another doctor here that had to actually do some mouth-to-mouth recitation to get her breathing again. So it's a little bit hard on some people. It seems to be on a more gentler note now as it operates. You'll also notice that Megan, my daughter, who was over here from England, is dematerializing. And what is happening is that she's shifting out of her physical body into her second etheric body. And so she would become somewhat invisible to some observers in the room. And the beauty of digital photography with some of the faster shutter speeds, we're able to actually capture the phenomenon. And I'm using a Canon D10, which is 6.5 megapixels, but now there's one out that's 12 megapixels, and I'm going to probably be using that in the future. I'll probably be getting that camera next week when I have time. Sorry to start the show late tonight, but because the vortex energy is opening in this house, in this vortex, which is in their living room, it's affecting other things. And last night I had, we usually play a certain amount of meditation music in the temple area of the house, which is the upstairs. And this is done on two CD players. And we have one area where we have parrots. And these parrots are very high energy birds. They teach you things on a daily basis. They're not like ordinary birds. They do amazing things. And so we have one music system for them, then we have one for the back part of the house. Well, last night, both music systems, the vortex once again opened slightly, both music systems completely disintegrated, and there was no way to fix them. I'm an electronics engineer. I took them apart, and they were fried inside, so I had to go out and get two more, because we always keep an energy, a sound frequency going in this temple somewhere, keep things balanced. Otherwise, it starts to get a little crazy. That's why my show was late. I had to run out and get two more CD players. You can believe that. And these weren't, one of them, no, they were not that old. And they were some of the best quality. But like I say, things blow up around here pretty frequently. With the vortex levels coming up, it's even more more comparable than normal. See, we had just installed about 2 or 3 days ago, actually it was Christmas, day after Christmas, we installed 2 of the standalone holographic projectors into the temple walls. And so we're going to actually end up with 4 of them, but right now we're shipping them and I'm not able to take them out of the production, get them out, put 2 more here in the house. I've actually got 2 mounted on the wall and 1/3 one in front of me, but you need 4 to get the full effect. So we're very excited to get the full effect as soon as we can get all 4 of them up. That'll be way before the seminar. We'll probably do that in the next month or so. So how are you doing tonight, Don?
It's been a fabulous year, and I'm doing great. I'm just looking forward to the new year. And, you know, I must say, it has been an incredible year. So, you know, I feel the culmination of those energies, and I feel very rewarded. I mean, I'm feeling very rich inside myself. I don't know a word for it, but I guess you would say so many things have taken place over this year, not just with respect to, you know, where we are and what we're doing, but in relationships, in how, you know, we're making a big change here, moving, and major goals have been laid out for the transition and the future.
Your new spread carrying the rain up there because it's in your neighborhood. Probably okay, right? You're up on a hill somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you mean where we're moving to?
Yeah, it's very wet there right now.
No. No, where we're moving to, there's a certain area that if you were to drive 5 minutes south, you'd be in the rain belt. If you go about 5-10 minutes north, you're in the snow belt. And we're right in the where it's comfortable, about 287 days, I believe it is, out of the year.
Oh, good, so we can bring a ship in up there then.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking
right
for.
Into the canyons.
We did. We brought so many ships here in the Laguna for so many people for so many years, and finally it was just too high of a populace here to do that anymore. It just became too much of a strain. I used to be out there at 2 o'clock in the morning, and some of the police friends of mine would be protecting me out there, keeping people away at 2 o'clock in the morning because they knew it was me. Today, you know, with all the new people, they'd probably arrest you for trespassing or being out of order or something. You mess around like that. It's just not the way it was. So I do miss having the ships come in. One time, I'll let Sean Martin will be coming on here in a few minutes, and he, known him since he was a baby. His father was an astronaut, and he's had an interesting life. And Sean got into television, and first, he was a DJ, and then he got into television, and he helped produce some of the first series of the X-Files for Chris Carter. Some of them were based on my life in the government. He produced an interesting film, which is being released pretty soon. He'll talk about that, called Joe Killionaire, which is a real interesting project. I worked with him on that project. And that was his first full-length feature film. And it's won the Sundance Festival like 3 times, and it's going to be a hot film when it comes out. He's also he's probably done more work with my projector, the one that you wear around your neck, than I have. And we'll get him to talk about some of the experiments in kinesiology that he's done. And I'm sure he'll be anxious to share that. And then, of course, he teaches classes on remote viewing, so he's been doing that a long time. So do you want to go ahead, Don, and see if you can get him on the line now from that number?
Sure. I had a question for you. I had a dream about you the other night.
Oh, God. It must have been, was it pretty bad? Did
you blow up?
No, it was... Pull your toes on, or what?
It was really strange. You were next to this cart driven by, I don't know, I think it was oxen.
That's about right for me.
And you were loading in all these bats, you know, baseball bats.
Yeah.
And you were just trying to grab as many bats and load them into that cart as you could.
That's too funny.
I don't know what to make of it. I'm still trying to figure it out. So if any of the audience knows what that means, please enlighten us.
I got a nice black bat that Reggie Jackson gave me and signed. It's in the other room where his manager put it. Actually, I haven't even moved it. It's sitting in the corner of the temple, but maybe it amplified into many, but the fact that the oxen were pulling the cart means that I guess we're getting ready to move a heavy load of bats.
Well, I'm going to have to take you off the air for 2 minutes while we three-way in your guests so we can also take phone calls.
Okay, good. I'll
do that. Excuse us for a moment, audience, but we'll be back in about 60 seconds.
Takes about 5 seconds here, so we should be coming on about now.
Are there any breaks at all?
Not usually. Sometimes we take a break. But anyhow, we should be on the air by now.
Okay.
So anyway, Sean, this is Sean Morton coming on board. Say hello to the audience out there.
I'd like to say hi and a very happy and glorious new year. May all of you get your kicks and give some licks in 2006.
And I've told the audience a little bit about what you do and everything. Are you there again now, Don?
I'm here.
Okay. I've told them a little bit about, you want to give them a little bit of background and, the most fun I think I've had is in the Joel Killionaire movie, but that's another story. But, I mean, give them a little background on what you do, especially in remote viewing, you know.
Well,
and then also prophecy stuff, all those
right.
Prophecies. John, by the way, has been a regular on Art Bell pretty much for many, many years. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure what to say. It has more to do with I've always been a natural intuitive and sort of more of a spiritual person getting involved in the a lot of the technical side of this whole thing. I got involved in the remote viewing when I was taking a psychology class. Actually, I was doing some advanced AP classes in high school up at Woodside High School in Northern California, which is right next to Stanford, and then some summer school classes at Stanford. Where I was taking a psychology class, and the people from the Stanford Research Institute came in and did some tests and experiments with the kids in the class at the point where they were apparently developing protocols that were developed by Russell Targ and Hal Puthoff and Ingo Swann at the Stanford Research Institute, which later became the CIA and the military Project Stargate. I didn't have anything to do with those. We were just kids in the class that were helping them with their research at that time, and then years later... in the early 80s, Dr. Elizabeth Targ and I were dating for quite some time, and she and I basically started putting together a lot of the remote viewing protocols, and we worked once again with a fellow getting his PhD thesis at Stanford, a Dr. James Spottiswood, who was doing a series of clinical tests on remote viewing, and then spent a lot of time in India, lived in a monastery in Nepal in 1986, and have tried to, after coming back to the monastery and honing a lot of my abilities, started having a lot of visions about the future and was able to do things like sense earthquakes and natural catastrophes. And since 1993, I've been publishing the Delphi Associates newsletter. The newsletter you have to have today because it tells you all about tomorrow. And for the last 14, 15 years or so, I've been publishing a monthly newsletter. And the reason I called it the Delphi Associates was because it's a group of psychic sensitives, intuitives, stock market professionals, people that have all gotten together to project future trends and deal in prophecy. And I guess the reason I got involved in prophecy was because... most people who do prophecy are, usually they're kind of crazy, and the majority of prophecy it comes from a religious bent that seems to be used to proselytize people, because you have a lot of different prophecies that span a lot of different religions and philosophies. And I started in 93 the Prophecy Research Institute, actually started in 92 actually, the Prophecy Research Institute, which was designed to not only study prophecy, but make prophecy amongst a group of people. And meanwhile, my other background, that's been my dedication to spirit. But the other things that I've done is I worked as a reporter, investigator, writer, director, producer did a lot of rock music videos in the early 1980s. And then I worked on programs like Strange Universe and Hard Copy and documentary work in Egypt. We did a documentary about 3 years ago called Prophecy of the Pyramids, which may or may not ever see the light of day due to some problems with the production company. But I just got finished writing and directing a comedy thriller that was kind of a takeoff on reality television called Joe Killionaire, and that's won about a dozen major film festivals for, you know, best director, best picture, best musical score, things like that. So meanwhile, the Delphi Associates newsletter is still going strong. It's the number one metaphysical publication of its kind. We've got about 50,000 subscribers, both e-subscribers and print subscribers. Probably about 20,000 to 25,000 print subscribers and about about 25,000 email subscribers. So strangely enough, we've got a bigger circulation than things like Mountain Astrologer or The Egg or American Free Press combined. So it's caused quite an impact and quite a stir, and it's been an opportunity for me, allows me a platform where I can actually write down my predictions and get them out there in print instead of my just going up there and screaming that the house is on fire. I actually have a printable, verifiable track record of my various prophecies and predictions. So I guess that's me.
Yeah, and that's you. And then you also worked a lot with my nuclear receptors.
Oh, yeah. I've been, you know,
one of your articles is on our websites over here. They read it all the time. I had to take it off of my website because the FDA, in order to get permission to get this thing tested for the FDA approval, they didn't want that on there. So, but it's over here, and it's legal to have it on this, you know, news-only website. But John wrote that. Tell him about that.
Well, let's talk about the receptor. It's,
in other words,
let me also say that Fred Bell has always been my Uncle Fred. I mean, I've known him since I was knee high to a grasshopper, since he was, since the old time NASA days, and my dad used to work for PRW and was involved in the space program, and Fred was a checkout engineer for, I think it was Rocketdyne at that time, right?
Yeah, Rocketdyne, North American Aviation, yeah.
So from there, Fred's been involved with the National Health Federation. He was one of the original founding members and board members of the National Health Federation.
Which is, your mother is now president.
My mother, Maureen Kennedy Salomon, is had been president of the National Health Federation for about 27 years. She's got 5 best-selling books on health, Foods That Heal, Nutrition, The Cancer Answer, The Dieter's Bible. And so, you know, I remember way back when your initial slate of contacts were happening in the early 70s.
And who was out at who went out to Area 51 and brought Larry King eventually?
Was that you?
Made
wasn't
such a ruckus at Area 51 that everybody came.
Well, with Area 51, the Larry King thing and Montel Williams and all that stuff. I mean, with Montel Williams, I said, you know, I was on his program, and I said, Montel, I'd be happy to take you out there, and I would be happy to show you around. And then he stood me up, I mean, over and over and over again. And this was, 1993, I guess fall of 93. And after that, he called and said, well, I'm ready to go. And I said, well, no, I'm not going to take you because there's nothing out there, and everything was moved, and the majority of the stuff at Area 51, and my involvement with Area 51 was the people that were initially, we interviewed a scientist named Bob Lazar, and I don't want to go all over the place with this interview. We interviewed a scientist named Bob Lazar in 1990, and that was, remember Joe Randazzo? And,
oh, yeah, he did a special on the Sai Baba and on me and then Area 51 and all kinds. Yeah, he did
well,
a lot
Joe
of
had, yeah, Joe did Sai Baba, and Joe Randazzo was the executive producer and on-camera talent, I guess, if you will, for a 13-part documentary series called UFO Contactees. And for a brief period of time, Joe had a magazine called the UFO Library Magazine that I was an editor and a writer and contributor for. And then Joe's house got washed out in a flood in Huntington Beach, which just destroyed a lot of that stuff. Anyway, we interviewed a scientist very briefly. We interviewed a scientist named Bob Lazar in 1990. And Lazar said, you don't have to believe anything I say. If you go out to Area 51, by Highway 375 in Nevada, next to the black mailbox, on a Wednesday night, they test the ships from sundown until whenever. It took me about a year to get out there, and a year later, we went out there with some friends. By that time, Gary Schultz and Norio Hayakawa and Anthony Hilder and Ed Griffin and a lot of kind of big-time celebrities in this movement had been going out there for a few months, and Norio had taken some fantastic video footage. And, I saw a UFO close up. This thing swooped across the road and almost hit the car. And this led to a few months later, my obsession with Area 51, a few months later for my finding the hilltop that actually looked down on the base that was a chink in their armor. And so I filmed and videotaped the base for the first time. And, had a lot of very interesting experiences. And
Now, later on, they made that place illegal. The government came in and took the spot away, didn't they?
Well, yeah, because as I said, I found a hilltop that looked down on their base. That was one thing they hadn't taken.
Yeah,
so they came up with a plan.
Got there, and then they took it.
Well, they took 5,000 acres, which they could do without asking anybody's permission, so they snaked a tentacle out from the base and just took the top of the mountain so that you couldn't go up to the top of the mountain and see the base, which is pretty ridiculous when you consider that the majority of the stuff that was at Fair 51 was moved to an underground facility in Kings Peak, Utah, a place called Area 6413, which is near Kings Peak. So, I mean, a lot of that stuff got moved. And to tell you the truth, most of the technology got too big for that particular facility anyway. So, you know, and I made it famous. I mean, my friend Shannon Sands put it on I took her out there, and she put it on the front page of the L.A. Times, and the L.A. Times story then led to the mythology of Area 51 that we have today. So I had more to do with popularizing it and taking tours of people out there and getting on Geraldo and then doing some work for Geraldo and then Unsolved Mysteries and whatever else and my contacts within the media.
Tell them about the time that when I was doing the Andromedan contacts, I told you that there would be a big ship come.
That was actually... That was pretty freaky. Myself and another buddy of mine, Charles Smirnoff, actually a whole gang of us out there, Fred had told me beforehand that that the Andromedans, who are apparently a race of extraterrestrials that are they from the Andromedan constellation or the Andromedan galaxy?
Galaxy.
All right, from the Andromedan galaxy that are like the grandparents of the Pleiadians or all the other races here would make some sort of showing out there,
right,
and that we would see a gigantic craft or some kind of giant ship.
Or so.
And it was one of those things that after you see it, it's like you know, it's almost like it gets blocked out of your memory because you're thinking you didn't see it, and a whole group of us out there, and I still to this day can't explain it. It was right before dawn. And as the sun was coming up, these what looked to us like three stars initially that had been there all night began to move. And apparently they'd just been parked and was moving along with the sky all evening. And then right before dawn, this gigantic triangular object simply started moving across the sky, blotting the stars out behind it. And simply moved. I think as the dawn was coming, it moved from the west towards the east, and moved across the sky. And it's one of those things where a whole group of us were sitting there watching it, thinking, you know, this, what are we seeing? This can't be real. But as I said, Fred had told us that we would see some kind of gigantic craft out there, and we did. And of the discs that I saw when I was there, and of course, you know, hundreds of other witnesses saw of the. We saw one other thing that was very interesting, which was some kind of gigantic shuttle, which was blunt on the nose, white black on the bottom, white on the top, had a bunch of chase craft behind it. This thing was like 1,600 feet from tip to tail, and it came flying in over the valley, and it was whatever the object was creating something called skyquakes over Southern California.
And the aurora.
And this was in the... Well, the aurora is an actual plane. Nobody really knows what this was. And years later, we saw a prototype on the Discovery Channel on a program that they called, I think they called it the X-60, and
okay.
That they said that some kind of huge shuttle like this would be flying sometime around the year.
I've seen a picture of that one.
2025 or 2030 or something like that. And, of course, if the military is, say, 15 years ahead of anything we have, then, you know, there you go. But yeah, we had a lot of very very interesting adventures out there. And began to connect with different people in different parts of the valley. We'd all get together for breakfast at the Alien the next day and kind of compare stories because people had different perspectives on different things that were going on. And it just makes you realize that there is more in heaven and earth than is dreamed of in your philosophy, Horatio, as Hamlet said. So.
And then down right after the big ship out there, the big orange ship that came right here to the house when you remember that one.
That was another time. Actually, we saw a UFO. We were sitting on your porch.
Yeah.
And I think we had the telescope out, and there was this big orange craft that was actually doing maneuvers over the Laguna Bay. And where Fred's house is situated. It's on an old volcano, and it's up on top of a series of kind of hilltops that apparently used to be where George Adamski lived.
Right.
And you know, back when they were kind of shacks, you know, not the
they were, yeah,
kind of palatial Laguna homes that they have now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just some big orange object that was actually doing some very cool maneuvers that we looked at for a while. So very, very strange.
Yeah. Yeah, we have.
And, okay, so going back to the receptor.
Okay.
All I can say is that from having the receptor, from selling the receptor, from being involved with the receptor for many, many, many years, the super receptor, and I do remember back in 78, 79, when Fred was conceptualizing, talking about the RNA-DNA projector, and it's been, it's been 25 years that it's taken you to actually put this into, finally put this thing into production. The amazing thing with the receptors are is that the receptors do create a life shield, if you will, around people. I've sold receptors to the entire staff of the Camarillo State Mental Hospital because obviously they work with they work with very mentally challenged patients who are very suck a lot of energy off you, and this whole staff was having all kinds of problems until they started wearing the receptor because it acts like a shield. I don't see how anybody today in the electromagnetic sea of filth that we swim in, cell phones and computers and TVs and the amount of radiation that these things give off, how anybody can survive without a nuclear receptor. And of everything that I've ever seen and tested, whether or not it's the Q-Link or the Wheel of Life or the disc or anything else, I just say fuck with the receptor right up against it, and we do muscle testing and body tests with sugar and alcohol and glue and all kinds of toxins, and the receptor beats them every time. Now the new one, which is the RNA DNA projector, and of course this led to, by the way, to when I actually wrote the March 2002 Delphi Associates newsletter, and we devoted the newsletter to the receptor.
We have copies of that, and so does Sean. Don't forget, by the way, to keep giving your website out from time to time.
Right. Well, I think you can. I think on your website, what I did is I sent your assistant Mitch a PDF of the actual newsletter, so people can actually.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah.
So people, I guess, on your site can download the PDF of the newsletter. But the reason I wrote it in the first place.
Sean's newsletters are all good, I might add.
Well, thank you.
Some great ones.
As a matter of fact, the most recent newsletter, the most recent Delphi Associates newsletter, is was actually called Starfleet Command. It's the one I did about 2 weeks ago, and that actually describes my experience out at Area 51 and seeing this gigantic kind of mothership type craft, and also goes into the trial of Gary McKinnon, who is a British hacker, who has he's a British computer hacker who hacked the U.S. Space Command and a number of submarine sites, and he hacked into a couple of dozen very, very high-level sites looking for UFO information, and he downloaded a body of information about something that apparently the government calls the Nebraska Navy, and which is a joke because there's no oceans in Nebraska, but this whole extraterrestrial Navy, if you will, Army, Navy, military fleet is run out of Strategic Air Command in Omaha, and he downloaded a list of non-terrestrial craft and officers, and that's what got me interested in the McKinnon case, because I checked in with some very high-placed sources that I have in intelligence in the White House, and who gave me the scoop on McKinnon, on what he did exactly, and why it pissed them off, and I got some very, very interesting information using that as a crowbar to kind of pry it loose, if you will. So anyway, where were we? We were talking about the projector, receptor.
We're easing into the projector, but it's all right to go off on these things.
I was inspired to do the entire newsletter on the receptor, not only because it's an amazing device, and not only because it works, and not only is it the best thing out there for personal protection, spiritual protection, protection against the environment, if you will, the electromagnetic pollution of the environment. I mean, it's a tool for everlasting life, quite literally. It's just an amazing device. But we'd found I've been doing a lot of work with the Bible code, and firmly believing that when you talk about prophecy, that and in that case, and here's another place where I'm at odds with the I guess what you would call the modern Bible community. They seem to have some kind of I don't know, some kind of axe to grind with anybody that thinks that anything that looks like phenomenon that was going on in the Old Testament and the Bible going on today has to be somehow the work of the devil, or that prophecy does not exist today. And I say that there's nothing in the Old Testament, there's nothing that the biblical prophets, there's nothing that happened in the Bible that's not, in fact, happening today. We simply don't have ancient books pointing to their experiences. You know, today, you know, in yesteryear we had Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Joshua and all the great prophets, and you know, today we have your Fred Bells and
Newsoms and John Martins and everybody, yeah.
Yeah. So it's so in the Bible code we'd actually found that the a body of evidence that talked about the gateway to eternal life is the seal of the receptor, and it actually used the word receptor. And we actually found the receptor in the Bible code, and directly linking it to a gateway to the endocrine system, endocrine glands,
it's a test that we're going to be starting at UCI. That's what the FDA is interested in, the endocrinology test.
Oh well, that's exactly
that's where we're going, endocrinology lab.
Well, that's what we found in the Bible code, that the seal of eternal life, and you know the code. Talking about a golden age, talking about that this is just the tip of the iceberg of using devices like this to then create within the next 50 years an average lifespan of somewhere around 300 years or so, and then moving back into a golden age of time. And of course, this is going to be quite some time away, but a golden age of time where apparently the average lifespan of the galactic human will be restored to somewhere around 1,000 years or so. So
the alien, yeah.
So it's so that's what got me into it, and that's why I wrote the entire article, and I just felt that there had not been a proper guidebook that had been written on this. And I think moving into the projector is a device that has four diamonds on the bridge. I'm still experimenting with whether or not you can actually put different kinds of stones on it, but it looks like two nuclear receptors put together into a figure eight. And the figure eight, the medallion that I got, which is the gold with the platinum bridge, you know, I had to save up to get it, and then to get the diamonds to go with it, to get the whole thing to work the way it does. I do tests and demonstrations at expos using dowsing rods, and I'll show people that... using a dowsing rod, you can walk towards a person, and the dowsing rods will begin to activate within the person's electromagnetic field or auric field, which is usually anywhere between probably about 2 and 3 feet or so. Then you put the receptor on them, and the field will expand to probably about 20 feet or so, whereas you stand across the room, walk towards them with the rods will start to spin. Then you put the RNA-DNA projector on them, and the projector will literally extend the energy field to outwards of somewhere of about 100 feet. And, I mean, it's just stunning. And I certainly feel the difference when I put it on. It gives you such a high level of energy. And one of the things I'm finding out about the projector is that it all has to do with the projection of intelligence and will. And in Buddhism, there's a belief that for every intention that you have in the universe, that you create an equal and opposite counter-intention. So for every action, there's an equal opposite reaction, and of course that's physics. And in metaphysics, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You can expect some kind of resistance to you achieving your goal, which is a natural thing in the universe. Some people think it's evil or demonic, but you know, if you're just bouncing a basketball on a court by yourself, somebody will eventually come up and say, "Hey, want to play?" and make the game fun by offering you the resistance of playing against you to play a game of basketball, which is what's fun about life. So the projector is in essence a technology that is a magical device. I guess the entire point of magic is, or true spiritual magic, is taking that which you think and turning that which you think and will into physical reality. The projector actually allows you to think, in other words, take your intelligence, turn that into will, and allow that thing to manifest within your life and existence with and at the same time cut down the counterintention to it. So it's sort of like it's almost like having like an icebreaker on the bow of your boat, or a particular type of fin on the back of the boat that cuts resistance through the water. Or I guess the best way to point it is a hydrofoil, because a hydrofoil, literally the receptor, like a hydrofoil on a boat, once you get going to a certain speed, the boat itself lifts out of the water, and you allow yourself to travel quicker and farther and faster with less resistance, because the hydrofoil is cutting through the water, and there's a minimum of mass in the water. And spiritually, the projector does exactly that. The projector actually lifts you out of, I guess, three-dimensional or four-dimensional space into the fifth dimension that allows you to then skim over 4D reality, like a hydrofoil on a smooth sea. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's the hologram.
Well, and the hologram, and also the hologram allows you to,
yeah.
Whereas the receptor takes energy and drives it into the cells and protects those cells and enlivens the life of those cells. The projector takes energy and amps it up into a fifth dimensional vibration, into the holographic universe, if you will, to create intelligence and to create things in your life using your own intelligence and will. So it very much makes you a participant in your own development.
Exactly. Now, when you're probably waiting to get the standalone unit, right?
No, I got it.
Huh?
I got it.
Did you get one?
Yes.
Have you played with it yet?
I'm messing around with it. I mean, I know you stand in front of it, and you get tingles up and down, and I mean, the standalone unit is what it's about. It's about 8 inches high, and it comes on this beautiful plaque, and I'm still trying to figure out where to put it in my house.
Okay, where you want to put it is where you work, your work area.
Okay.
And then this is what I did anyway, and this is how I noticed it. And then you point it right at you, and like I'm looking at mine right now.
Yes.
And then you'll start feeling it. You know, it kind of is a kind of a euphoric feeling in your solar plexus. That's what I get.
Right.
It's not all the time. There's certain times when you're busy and it's kind of like turned off. It's got its own intelligence, so that it doesn't bother you when you're doing your thing. But all of a sudden, it'll creep up on you, and you look at it, and it kind of pulls you out of what you're doing. And then suddenly, I'll just wish for something, you know. And the next thing I know, it happens.
Right.
And that's what's been working really well for me.
Huh.
I'm just be very careful what I wish for, because I get too much going on.
Right.
Now. Just too much, and it's all good. But it's just, you know, you get to a point where you get involved people with your wishes and things, and then you can't handle all. You don't have enough time in the day to handle all the things you wish for. So you're gonna. I had to watch it. I had to really watch it. I really had to throttle it down a little bit. Now I got the other two up there. I got three in here. My daughter's here. She's disappearing in the living room. You know, and this board, the whole thing is just on the vortex here. It's just incredible. I'm speechless to talk about the rest of it. I can barely talk about one, let alone three of them. And I'm, you know, and the fourth one, I'm not even ready for it yet.
Huh.
So when we have the seminar, I mean, way before the seminar, you'll have to come down here and check it out, you know.
But, well, I'd love to. I'd love to.
The nice thing about Sean is that Sean figured out all this on his own. I didn't teach him much about any of this stuff. He did it on his own. Sean's kind of stubborn that way. He's got to have his own experience.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, you did. I mean, I never really taught you this much. I remember when I was working on my brochure, you came along, and yours was much better than mine. And that's why we ended up using yours.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
It's we just put the graphics in, and we put how to test people for them, and
yeah,
what
you,
kind
you
of
really
experience
did.
That people would expect.
It.
And you know, I'm hoping to do the same thing for the projector. I just need, again, I'm really walking into a blind. It seems to be a very advanced technology and an amazing technology. And once again, this is all, you know, the science of this is that people don't understand that there's physics and there's metaphysics, and in metaphysics there are laws to the universe the same as in physics. And so in metaphysics, you know, you're simply, you're dealing with energies, literally magical forces, if you will, that is a form of technology that we simply do not have the instruments to measure. But, you know, you're dealing with the quantum foam, quite literally. And when you get to the place beyond physics and then you get down to the quantum level of reality, all of these quantum physicists are now winking at us, telling us that the laws of the universe as we know them do not operate on the quantum level. That once you get down to the level of atoms and muons and quarks and automatons and all of these things, that it literally goes into the Buddhist concept that an apple's not an apple until you perceive it as such. And that experiments themselves on the quantum level seem to change just to fit the will and wish of the people conducting the experiment. Well, that's magic. That's a cooperative universe. That is the opposite of paranoia, and here's my new philosophy for 2006. Paranoia is the feeling that everybody's out to get you. But there's also pronoia, and pronoia is the feeling that everybody's out to help you. And that's actually really true.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That if you move to the pronoia concept, that in pronoia, not everybody's out to get you, but everybody's out to help you. And that there are angelic entities in the universe and human entities in the universe that once you express your divine will, you know, there are archangels and legions of angels that their entire purpose is to assist you in your desire. So there you go. I mean, that's all it takes. And, of course, this device is like the projector, I'm assuming, because I haven't had the direct experience of it yet. But the people that I've sold projectors to have called me within weeks saying, holy cow, this thing is everything that I think I'm getting. I'm pieces of property are selling, and a house that I wanted to find has materialized. And, you know, all these amazing things have happened. You know, I think the same thing is maybe I just need to project more and focus more on what exactly it is I want with the projector, I guess. But it's, you know, that's what 2006 is going to be about. And it's very interesting because not only is the projector going to take off in 2006, but 06 is an 8 year because, of course, 2 plus 6
right,
is 8.
I know.
And the double zeros in the middle of it are, you know, the double zeros, if you put them together, are, in fact, an 8 that look exactly like the projector.
The projector, nice.
So an 8 year, especially when you've got Jupiter in Scorpio, which is all about sex and death and regeneration and luck and money and gambling this whole year is going to be about money. It's going to be about, you know, who gets it, who loses it, who wants it, and whether or not it's the markets or the economy or whatever else. But this is a super powerful year because the 8 is the glyph of the magician. The 8 is about power, and it's about power and money, basically. The 7 was a year of perfection, but it's the 7 projection is all about how you perfect yourself and your work and the trials and tribulations that you go through to do that. And once you perfect your own work, you know, you go from 1, which is the masculine, 2, which is the feminine, 3, which is the trinity of the child, 4, which is the elements of the earth, wind, air, and fire, 5, which is personality and sexuality, 6, which is perfected service to others, 7, which is the perfection of the self, the trinity with the 4 of the elements, and 8, going into ultimate power, using everything that you've learned and all your spirituality to reap the rewards and benefits. And actually 9 is you realize that all the material things in the universe are all illusionary anyway, and that the 9 is meant to strip everybody away or strip everything away so that you can then dive back into the void of the 0 again. So
sounds like we're going to have a good year. What do you think about this, Don?
You know, he mentioned 2 things which struck me so powerfully. One of those was the fact that when people, when scientists or metaphysicists or physicists are looking at these quarks, bosons, muarks, and so on, that it becomes a cooperative energy, and then he hangs that with the word pronoia. You know, Sean, I love you, buddy. I mean, those are 2 very strong points, and they just struck me. I love the way you expressed that.
You know, let's stop thinking people are out to get us and start thinking people are out to help us, because they are.
Yeah, that's
true. And it's all about, you know, it's not the beginning of the end. It's not that the end is here.
It's the end of the beginning.
it's not
to do it
it's
now,
not that
right?
The end is near. It's that the beginning is here. And,
yeah, exactly.
And the aspect of everything that this year is going to be about, beyond the predictions in the Pacifics, you know, specifics, beyond the earthquakes, beyond the floods, beyond, you know, all the water stuff that we're going to, you know, when I talked about pronoia, a universe that is ultimately helpful, a universe where everybody is conspiring for your greatest good, we're also looking at this year being about, a lot of people talk about the Mayan calendar ending in December of 2012. However, there's another calendar, the calendar of Teotihuacan, which is the calendar of the Aztecs. And the last 13-year cycle of the Aztecs begins with 1999 and is broken down into seven Aztec days between 1999 and 2011. And when that happens, these 7 days, and it's a full day, it's a day and a night, if you will, they look at it as being that what it's all about. And it sounds very simple, but when you understand that these three basic concepts are something that modern religions have been warring against people finding out, and it's one of the reasons why they burned all the Aztec and Mayan books, and because they had so many codexes and so many books about what was going to happen at the end of time, that they said, well, they can't have that. We need the monopoly on this stuff and burned it all. But this whole next year is going to be about specifically the dissemination. I call it the bright night of the soul. That it's the dissemination of what's called the core synthesis. And the core synthesis is the body, mind, and soul acceptance of the three, well, the core synthesis. And the core synthesis is, number one, is that all is one, that everything is interconnected, which, of course, sounds simple. Number two is that life has a purpose. And number three is that God is love. And as simple as we think those things are, once humanity begins to actually not even understand, because understanding is a booby prize. Whatever you're standing under, you eventually get crushed by. It's the direct experience of those three aspects of all being one, life having a purpose, and God being love, that is the core synthesis. And this will disseminate around the next year. The year after that, which is the 2006 to 2007 cycle, will be all about that then taking root within humanity. From 2007 to 2008 is going to be an Armageddon cycle, which is Germany is going to be at the center of that cycle. Because everything that's developing in Germany, and of course we Americans have some egotistical idea that we're the most advanced mentally, spiritually, whatever. I mean, you know, we got nothing on the Germans, because the Germans metaphysically and spiritually are advancing in so many. I mean, Fred, you go to Germany and
it's amazing.
You've got like, you know, tens of thousands of people that come see you there. Here in the United States, you've got to like beg for every crumb, and you constantly are going through counterintention of you know, criticism and you know, smear and slander and whatever else. And yet, I want to tell you guys that, you know, Fred Bell's worshipped as a hero in Germany, because they get it. They get the metaphysical concepts of this. And Germany is going to be at the core of the next social revolution. Because every single time we're about to take the next step, like humanity coming together in the year 2000 and, you know, the whole planet being at peace and the beautiful weather for that one particular day on New Year's Eve of 1999 and 2000. And then, of course, then you have 9/11 occur, and, you know, the masters of war, the lords of evil, the wizards who run the black towers on the earth, if you will, constantly have to infuse every time the chakras begin to open. They feed poison into those chakras to close them down with fear. And every time we start experiencing the core synthesis of all is one, life has a purpose, God is love, they try to close that down with, you know, no, we are separate, we are divided, that life has no purpose, and that there is no God. So, you know, that's the antithesis of what they're trying to shove down our throats, whether or not it's the, you know, the Bush administration, or whether or not it's the, you know, the British, or what's going on in Iraq. And it's anyway. So I'm off my soapbox now. I'm just saying that all of this stuff that's going down right now, and I just tell people, you know, we're running out of time. It's 2005 into 2006. We've got what, 6 years now until 2012 hits. Until all these prophecies start telling us that we're going to start experiencing the first galactic pulse. And when you see, once again, let's take the hard science. The sun started beating like a heart about 6 months ago. There were literally solar flares coming out of the sun
I was tracking them.
That literally made the sun. It literally looked like a lub dub, like a heart on an encephalograph, and it's or on an EEG machine or whatever it is, the device tracks the heart. And the sun started to pulse, literally like a heart. And what's going to happen when those same pulses, and the sun reaches 27 degrees Sagittarius at galactic center in December of 2012, the Aztec calendar ends on October 31st of 2011, and there's a reason for the dichotomy between the two calendars. But and that reason being is that I think that there the Aztec calendar begins at conception, if you will, and then a year later you literally have the birth that comes on. So the Aztec counts it from the conception as the beginning of that life, whereas the Mayan calendar looks at it as the literal birth of the child coming down the birth canal with the sun at 27 degrees Sagittarius, lining up with galactic center, and the sun literally being like the crown of a baby's head coming out the birth canal. And what's going to happen when that occurs? And, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, the world's going to tip over, everything's just going to go away, and, you know, the bad guys aren't going to go away without a fight, and there's going to be a big fight, and that's what's going to be, that's what the next decade is going to be about, is everybody who's rising to the next ascension level coming into direct physical conflict, very much like Star Wars. Maybe that's why Star Wars resonates with so many of us. You know, that's what it is. It's literally about the return of the Jedi, if you will, and those concepts and precepts of a connection with the Force that then denies and eventually destroys the dark side of the Force and destroys the Empire. I think that's one of the reasons why Lucas's vision of you know, especially the last three movies, where Princess not Amidala, I think, says she has that one comment about the, you know, this is how liberty is lost to thunderous applause. I mean, you know, you've got the Emperor literally quoting from a speech that Bush made sometime in the past. So
yeah, and it's obvious that the people in the Bush administration and the people around there are all sleeping and dead now, and they're so easy to see from eyes of light and love. And
well, I don't think they're sleeping and dead. I think they're actively conscious of everything that they're doing. If anything,
okay, yeah, but I mean their actions are those of death.
Oh yeah, well, they are of death, but they're certainly not sleeping. I mean,
no,
you know,
yeah, they're not,
you know,
sleeping,
death is,
but their actions are those of death.
They're
death.
Literally like the prowling lion, and it would be so much better if they were unconscious of what was going on. I mean, you know, Bush being the head of this thing, I mean, the dude really does have an 89 IQ. I mean, I've talked to people that come out of presidential briefings who just go, you know, what you see is what you get. He really is that dumb. And so everybody else around him manipulating him, and the only reason he was chosen as president, not his brother, is that he simply responded to the mind control better than Jeb. And
Jeb's,
you know,
too smart.
Pardon me?
Jeb is too smart.
Well, Jeb is also, you know, I mean, Jeb is the perfect presidential candidate for 2008. I mean,
yeah,
he's married
I agree
to
with
a...
That.
He's married to a Hispanic woman. He has a, you know, a half Hispanic son, George P. He speaks fluent Spanish. He comes from one of the most populous states in the United States. He's relatively popular after the actions he took after at least the Florida hurricanes there.
Right.
You know, and the plan has always been, you know, and between him and Hillary running in 2008, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two of them. Although Jeb is Catholic, he is not Episcopalian, or whatever the hell the Bushes are, but he's Catholic, and his wife is I don't think she's Cuban. I think somebody said I forget where his wife is from. Somebody said she was from Guatemala, but I don't know. I'm sure somebody will write in and tell us where Jeb's wife is from. But, you know, as the politics are stacking up, I've said from the beginning that the Clintons and the Bushes are all in bed together and have been working together, and, you know, now that Poppy Bush and Bill Clinton are joined at the hip on the web, and you know, and they're all such good friends now. You know, surprise, surprise. So, anyway.
Yeah, then they must have been coached by the WWF. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's all scripted.
Yeah, it's the World Wrestling Federation of American Politics. It's
actually Ed McMahon or Bill McMahon or whatever his name is running the whole deal now.
Yeah, McMahon. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's you know, who's going to win it this time? The British Bulldogs or Hulk Hogan and his Destruction Brigade or whatever. I'm not up on my wrestlers like I used to be 20
years
ago.
Yeah, I know. They were just over in Afghanistan or Iraq the other day. Afghanistan.
That's
where
cool.
They went with Rita Crosby and the whole gang went over there. Have you been watching a lot of MSNBC or keeping up on the news? Because I know you've been all doing all kind of things. I just wondered if you were on top of some of the new events that are going on.
No, I mean, I the sad part is that. One of the next set of my predictions has to do with some very substantial earthquakes in Northern California.
Yeah.
And just what I've seen on the news recently about the Truckee River flowing over and the Sacramento River. These are all precursors to my three quake scenario coming up for the San Francisco Bay Area, running from April through October. And San Francisco and the San Andreas. I mean, the big headlines for 2006 are going to be the San Andreas Fault, specifically Northern California, San Francisco. The avian bird flu, whether real or imagined, the government is preparing to spend billions of more dollars.
So to make it real, to fake everybody out, yeah.
In vaccines and inoculations for this bird flu, and what better form of control than to come up with a terrorist that is truly invisible, that can be used to once again divide and conquer when you don't even want to go out of your house. It is whatever phase two of the chemtrail phenomenon is that was began in 1998, and of course with the chemtrails worldwide, they were designed to destroy the upper respiratory system.
Right, it's the bromide deal, exactly.
Okay. Well, and look at phase two. Now we have an airborne virus. It's not airborne yet because there's only been 126 cases, something, or 100 cases and change of this particular disease so far, and yet they're preparing 100 million vials of vaccine that they're creating in Eastern Europe because they can't get the insurance inside the United States to produce the vaccine because I think, you know, one out of every 100 kills whoever they give it to.
That's the Tamiflu.
There's Tamiflu, but Tamiflu and then, an actual vaccine that they're working on for this stuff. So it's
cyclohexane. Well, Tamiflu is the name of the one from Roche, and that's got cyclohexane in it, which is an ingredient of angel dust, PCP, and it makes people go mad.
Well, that's
already doing that. It's killing kids.
That's why that's why people are going crazy. But it's and this goes all the way back. I sound like a Johnny Come Lately on this, but back in 1994, the next book that I'm working on is called The Vajra Chronicles, and it's about a post-life progression that I did in 1994 to go to 100 years from now to look back on our history. And this the whole gamut of everything that's gone down, from the terrorist attacks to the war in Iraq to what's happening in the Middle East to the 2004 to 2006 time frame as being when when these global pandemics would begin, to the great quakes in San Francisco that are coming. All of this was mapped out in 94, and within the next couple of weeks, I'll have that book done and finally out there. So,
put your website out there.
Okay, it's DelphiAssociates.org, D-E-L-P-H-I, Associates.org, not .com, .org. Some web guy that we had before stole our DelphiAssociates.com name and is making some money off it somewhere, but DelphiAssociates.org. And the newsletter, if you want to order the newsletter, the Delphi Associates newsletter, the newsletter you have to have today because it tells you all about tomorrow, you can get an e-version of the newsletter or a print version, and most people get both. The phone number is 888-452-7999. So it's 888-452-7999, 888-452-7999, 888-452-7999.
That's good. And how's the cat business doing?
Well, the cat business is fine. We have six cats now.
Yeah.
And all Norwegian forest cats, and we just got a kitten named Dakini. And Dakini is very adorable and very sassy. And we have a blue-eyed white Norwegian forest cat who's the only blue-eyed white male in North America, and he's very special. My own delusion is that he is a Buddhist monk from a past life, from one of my past lives, who decided to take a life off to spend some time with me. So Shalu's a very interesting character. So anyway, we've got
those are really hybrid cats whatever you guys.
Yeah, well, Melissa actually started breeding. She actually introduced Norwegian forest cats to the Western United States, and they're very valuable and a very unique breed. They're they're Norwegian forest cats were the first cats in North America. They were brought over on the Viking ships in the 6th century.
And that's a major kitty. Let me tell you something. The weather a trip in a rowboat across the Atlantic.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're pretty powerful. I mean,
kitty,
they're big
huh?
cats. The cats are like, they're like 20 pounds. So they're,
oh, they're big, yeah.
You know, they're big, giant cats. There's Norwegian forest cats, ragdolls, and Scottish folds, I think, are the three really, really big cats. So, and they're fantastic. They're very smart. They're very polite. They like hanging out with you. They're not lap cats really. They just need to be by you. And they're very, very unique. And they're becoming very popular. And actually, supposedly Norwegian forest cats. The legend is Norwegian forest cats who towed the chariot of Freya, the Norse goddess of love, and who were the cats of Asgard. And Puss in Boots was a Norwegian forest cat for the Hans Christian Andersen stories. But that they intermated with the American bobcat and then became Maine Coons.
Wow.
So anyway, it's just, you know, cats are good. Cats are, they guard the astral plane. They're sort of half in and half out of reality. They can see auric fields. They
see down in the ultraviolet like butterflies.
Yeah, they're good companions to have. So.
Oh yeah, sounds like fun. And how's the Joe Killionaire movie doing?
Joe Killionaire's doing well. As a matter of fact, we're going to be up at Sundance, at the Sundance Film Festival again. Last year, we won the Park City Film and Music Festival, which was sort of plays along with Sundance up there, so we're actually showing on the Strip. So since we won last year's film for Best Director, Best Feature, Best Musical Score, and Best Use of Music in a Film, we're actually going to be up there again this year at Sundance because they're going to show it as last year's winner. The film's actually sold very well overseas. It's like the number one movie in Thailand, of all things.
So is it playing in Thailand now?
Yeah, it's actually playing in Thailand. Thailand, Mexico, Israel, Eastern Europe, and we've got some new offers of distribution. And so the movie's doing very well. And
some of the people probably listening are in those countries, but when are we going to get to see it on the screens over here? And I want to see the final version of it anyway.
That's actually what's been going on just in the last few months is that we put together a high-definition edit of the film.
Yeah.
So now it's on because we shot the film in high definition, so now it's on a D5 master tape. And, obviously that then goes down to DVD. But, we're ready to actually put it on 35mm. And I'll send you by the end of next week, we should actually have a DVD, the final cut DVD of the film. So,
yeah, what was the name of that one castle we were shooting that in? That was really a special place. Up in a castle.
Yeah, the castle was it's up in the Hollywood Hills, and it's where they shot Last Comic Standing and Spinal Tap and The Time from the from the 80s Ice Cream Castles. There's a whole bunch of videos that have been shot there. This guy built a house on top of one of the ridges in Hollywood. He wanted to build a giant boat, and they wouldn't let him, and so he just had this big, giant castle. So,
and you can look down at the Bat Cave. That was really neat, too.
Castle up in the Hollywood Hills, and Marilyn Monroe's home, where Marilyn Monroe was, which I thought was, kind of an interesting blessing. It's where she and Joe DiMaggio lived between 1902 and 1955.
In that house?
Yeah, in the house. I don't know which one you went to. You went to the castle, right?
Yeah, the one where we. Yeah.
Okay.
With a big jacuzzi outside.
Yeah, that's the other place we shot was Marilyn Monroe's house, and she's actually got, they actually have a parking lot and a soundstage in the back, and but the yard where we shot everything at, and the breast nook, and a couple of the interior scenes in the car, and we're all actually shot inside the in Marilyn Monroe's house. So.
Wow. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, how many? It was. Tell them just to give them a quick, brief, 2-minute story of what this thing is about. Because it was funnier now.
Look, people approached me originally. People approached me and said, they wanted some kind of horror movie, and of course I wanted to direct a project of something I've written because I've written a whole bunch of scripts, and they said, well, if you can do a horror movie of a lower budget horror film, and I wasn't interested in a, your typical slasher movie. So I said, well, if we could do something funny and something kind of unique, and at that time the whole Joe Millionaire thing was going on, and so we just thought it'd be kind of fun to do a takeoff on reality TV where a bunch of girls go to this castle in France and for a dating show, and they all kind of get killed in mysterious ways. And so the movie's very much it's kind of like 10 little Indians and Clue meets The Bachelor. So that was my concept, to actually have a murder mystery game show. And so that's where it comes from. You know, meanwhile, unfortunately, the metaphysical project that I wanted to get out there on the independent film circuit was Prophecy of the Pyramids. And, you know, you and I both have a mutual friend that you know, they spent probably $250,000 on the Prophecy of the Pyramids documentary, which I wrote and hosted. And the head of the production company just in Hawaii stole everybody's money.
Yeah,
and
bad deal.
And there was a guy that was head of this production company that probably had about $3 million invested in a company in Hawaii, and there were huge tax breaks going on for people that did production in Hawaii, which is one of the reasons why Disney is doing Lost there now, because there was a way for them to amortize 100% of your costs of the production over 5 years. And, you know, we met with the head of the film commission and the governor and all these people, you know, this crooked German that was running it decided to just make off with everybody's dough. So that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, I think we got what Don and I are doing now. It's a much better deal. So we got a similar project going. I think we've got all the right people that won't behave that way.
Well, what are you and Don doing?
Yeah, Don, tell them a little bit about what we're doing. We got Don there somewhere?
Obviously.
Well,
hey, Don.
How are you doing? Well, right now...
bit about our TV project that we're working on.
Oh, well, I guess I can share a little bit.
A little bit, you know.
Well, Sean, it's we've got a lot of good people with a lot of good energy, and we're just we're trying to create a network more encompassing TV that's going to work on various paranormal and awareness building productions. That will continue to develop various different programs, whether they be documentaries, whether they be paranormal-type programs to spiritual programs in a multitude of formats. And I think we're getting the backing, we're getting the people, and putting all the pieces in place to make it happen, and it's looking good so far.
Cool. Well, congratulations. There's a lot of people, you know, after 1997, 1998, everything got killed. X-Files and Sightings and, you know, Unsolved Mysteries and, you know, every decent show that was related to that genre was taken off the air. And just in the last year, with Supernatural and Ghost Whisperer and Medium, I mean, you've got like 3 or 4 of the top 10 shows on TV are now, once again, metaphysical concepts. So,
yeah, we can run internet shows right on our own network that we're building ourselves.
Right.
Probably
yeah.
Continue on to
grow. Well, it's all about, you know, distribution is getting out to more and more people, and it's a question of getting the word out and getting things out there. So, and of course, we have more access now than I think we ever did, and now it's just a question of how you get the how you put your audience together. And
this one seems to just be falling in, which is
okay.
Kind of neat.
Well, that's
people tell their friends, and then they tell their friends, and it's growing.
You got people like Steve Case, who's the head of Time Warner AOL, buying the Wisdom Channel and turning it into Lime, which I think is Wisdom with a twist, and they're talking about the Future Channel now, and Case getting involved in all this metaphysical programming. It's very interesting because I think that the captains of industry and the masters of the universe who...
They're going to distort it.
Well, have now that they've made billions... And now that you have kind of the year of the dog kids all coming in, you know, in their late 40s and early 50s and coming into some power, believe it or not, there's people at very, very high up levels who have now, in essence, now realized that we're running out of time. And unless they do something to contribute to what's going on, you know, on the planet, or do something to contribute to the future, that the future will be lost. So it's...
I don't know. I see a lot of those companies that are jockeying for position. I see them and the people that are involved and the corporations that are involved and the people behind them. I think it's I think they're just trying to gain a controlling position in this spiritual movement media that is growing and will grow. And you know, looking at their past track record, I don't think these people really have anybody's best interest in heart in putting this together. It's more for greed, and it's going to end up being a sick, twisted disinformation type of scenario.
You mean like it is now?
Well, exactly.
I went through the same thing with Paul Allen from Microsoft, and he trashed the thing that I was involved with. It was really taken off on on that G4 Tech TV last year.
Uh-huh.
Crashed out and put 60 people out of work.
Really?
Yeah. I shot two or three shows with them. We were had a whole series going, and that same group now has reformed, and Don's met them, and they got their own deal going now with Viacom and some other things. So, I know. I went through that. I mean,
So the people involved at Microsoft are scumbags. What a shock.
Yeah, no, I mean, just cold. This show was taken off on G4 Tech TV. It was taken off really well.
Right. You mean the guys that stole all of Xerox's and Steve Jobs' technologies aren't a bunch of thieves and crooks?
Yeah.
You know, they don't call those people the pirates of Silicon Valley for nothing.
I know. Well, I had my own experience with them. I didn't realize how cold-hearted they were. 60 people were moved from the Bay Area, set up in a brand-new studio over there next door to Fox in Santa Monica, put out a show called Unscrewed that we were doing. We had everybody on it, and it was a blast. It was had tremendous ratings. It was going out on over the world. It was right up on the channel lineup with MSNBC on DirecTV, and on the internet. It was taken off, and he just came in one day and just laid everybody off. Just boom. I mean, it was a wake up call for me. I never saw. And these people had only been down here 3 months. They had sold their homes and everything else. It was a huge deal. They just fired every one of them in one day.
When did all this happen, Fred?
Last December.
Oh, okay. How come I didn't hear a thing one about it?
Well, because it was just negative energy, and it was a learning curve, and I didn't want to spread it any, you know?
Okay.
Well, I'll spread a little negative energy. If you've got AOL, get rid of it. If you deal with Time Warner Cable, go to Dish. Look. I mean, believe me, because AOL Time Warner is the stink of the stink.
Yeah.
I'm being judgmental. I'm sorry, folks, but I'll tell you, stink is stink. It's like that little white speck on top of a chicken turd. It's chicken turd, too. You know that old movie with the, what's that country singer's name? George Strait?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, birds of a feather flock together, and zebras don't change their stripes, not readily anyways, and you know, there's hope for these guys, but the way they're jockeying for their position and the people they're bringing into the fold and how it's unfolding, I don't see any good coming out of it, and it's a shame.
Hello?
Yeah, he's there.
Oh, okay. All right, so...
It's our system. We're still perfecting our equipment. Once he gets relocated, then... we're going to set up some more equipment and stuff. Don spent a lot of money lately on servers. We've had a hell of a time with the server companies having to sue them because these websites go down. We get so many millions of hits every day that the damn things go down, and these companies paying thousands of dollars a month, and they can't even keep the damn thing running for them, and they make promises. He just spent a bunch more money with them, and they screwed Don, and we're having a hell of a time with it. So this is all going to get fixed. But this is what you call a growing pain, you know. That's what we've been going through.
Okay.
So before you leave, I want to see if anybody has any questions, you know, out there. Is there any of the questions? I guess the 888 number is the right number to call in on, Don, if anybody wants to ask anything before we close it down for New Year's.
Sure, they can call the 888 number that's listed on bbsradio.com.
What's the 888 number?
Yeah, I'm going to look it up here. Yeah.
And it would be?
It's 888-268-4313. That's 888-268-4313. And Don's about an hour away from New Year over there in Texas.
Uh-huh.
Right, Don? It's about 11-something over there now?
That's right. It's about 11 o'clock now.
Yeah. So you will be transformed and possibly taken into a ship tonight.
That's right. That's right. They told me tonight's the night.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess you'll be doing the show from another planet or something, but that's okay.
As long as it's not Uranus.
Yeah,
Uranus. As long as it's not there.
Yeah, that's funny. So what's Sean going to be doing this up and coming year?
Well, we're going to map out the year. We're going to try to once again, it's all about dissemination this year. So we're going to try to get out there and do as many workshops. We're doing everything from the spiritual remote viewing workshops that we're going to try to do across the country to the something else that's called redemption seminars, which is a process by which people can take back their freedom and relay claim over their their Social Security number and their passports, driver's licenses, teaching people how to discharge debt.
Yeah, I've been watching that movement grow, and it seems to be getting some legs a little bit now.
Well, because it works. I've been involved in the sovereign citizen and constitutional movement for 20-plus years, and this is the first thing that I've actually found that really works. The bottom line is there is no money system anymore. And there is no money system, and because money is just printed out of thin air, and because money is money as we know it, or should we say privately owned Federal Reserve notes specifically, are all fiat, and because we have not had any kind of legal money system since 1933, then the bottom line of this whole thing is that we show people that according to House Joint Resolution 192, which was passed in June 5th, 1933, very specifically stated that the monetary system of the United States is based on, quote, the faith, energy, and spirit of the people of the United States. Therefore, there is only a money system because we believe there is, and because one of the biggest things that's going to be going on in 2006 is all going to be about money and about debt and about credit cards and about bankruptcy and about whatever else. We're going to show people how to, because nothing can be paid. Therefore, things can be discharged. But it takes, if you want to do this, redemption's not for everybody. It's definitely, you're talking about going into the real world and getting out of the matrix the understanding that they've created a corporate vessel straw man based on your name in all capital letters. And when they do that, they exercise a body of control that they've tricked you through bullying and through authoritarianism to believe that corporate fiction is in fact you. And if they can get you to believe that there's a connection between you and the puppet that they control, then you're done. So redemption's not for everybody. I mean, it's called the home of the free and the land of the brave for a reason, and you've obviously got to be brave. You've got to be able to study to show yourself approved, and it's not easy, and it's not for everybody, but... Hello?
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay. That's, I think that's the end of your time, I think.
No, that just lets you know somebody's on the air. I'm gonna put them through. I should have just broke in and let you know. I keep forgetting.
Okay. Yeah, so what do we got? Got somebody calling in? Hello? Hello?
Hello. Is this Fred?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, hi, Fred. This is Keith in Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. What can we do for you tonight, Keith? Oh,
terrific. I just wanted to say you two gentlemen are definitely in service, especially on this night.
Yeah.
And, I wanted to ask Sean...
Yes.
About, he kind of indicated that in 2006 he was going to, or we were going to experience this, the synthesis,
yes,
that
the,
he was speaking
the,
of.
The dissemination of the core synthesis is what the Aztecs call it.
Yes, and is that where you were kind of feeling it, or that it was going to unfold this year? Kind of thing.
Here's what's fascinating about it is that the Aztecs have the last codex of their calendar, and there's two bodies of thought on this. There is the there's obviously the Mayan calendar, which of course everybody's heard of, and that's the more famous one because that's the one that ends in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Aztec calendar, and the Aztec calendar of Teotihuacan, which is the one that that Montezuma was fascinated by, and there's actually more information on the Aztecs because a lot of their stuff was not as savagely put to the torch as most of the Mayan stuff when the priests got a hold of that. But it's a it's 7 years of days and nights, and these 7 years specifically had to do with a pattern that has to do with flowering and growth and. The idea is the beginning of 1999, the beginning of this energy and this cycle, had to do with the that the seed was being planted specifically. And once the seed was planted, you then had a metaphor going on throughout the Aztec calendar specifically. And this metaphor had to do with that seed. First, you have the tilling of the field beginning in 99. Then you have the planting of the seed. Then you have the growth of the seed, the germination of the seed. Then you have the budding and flowering of the seed, the original seed. Then you have the dissemination of that seed, very much like blowing on the puffball of a daisy and the little fairy parachutes going out throughout the world. And now that is going to start to specifically take root, and now that that takes root, that is what's going to lead up to the beginning of the experiencing of the cosmic pulse, which starts happening in 2008. But at the same time that cosmic pulse happens, you have what they call an Armageddon cycle as well. And, you know, all these things all then come together for 2011 and 2012, when humanity begins to directly experience this amazing transformation. So it's I'll just break it down. The from January 5th, 99 to December 30th of 1999 is the sowing, which I saw as being the IT revolution, living on light, wars of the West with Iraq and Serbia, the first protest in Seattle against global materialist powers when that began to manifest. From December, and that's the first day, and then the night, because it all goes day and night of a day, so that's one day. The night was then from December 31st of 99 to December 24th of 2000. That's the backlash of the IT revolution. That was when you had the collapse of the NASDAQ, and this is how I was able to, in a lot of ways, predict the collapse of the NASDAQ and predict the collapse of the of what was going on with IT. There was a resting period following the initial day of what the Aztecs and Mayans called the Galactic Earth. Then you have the beginning of the second day, which is germination. And day two begins on Christmas 2000 and goes from December 19th of 2001. And there's continuing protests against global materialist power, terrorist attacks against the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. The war in Afghanistan begins. Then you have the night of the second day, which is December 20th, 2001 to December 14th of 2002. You have an economic recession. You have the reestablishment of Western dominance. You literally have a fracturing, by the way, of East and West, because you have now England and the United States being truly the West, now pitted against against Europe and the East. There's a reaction against most expressions of the high frequency of the galactic underworld, and a cultural search for answers in ancient cultures. And then you have the beginning of day three, which is now the sprouting of that seed, and that's December 15, 2002 through December 9th of 2003. What happened? Once again, England and the United States go to war with the East, the Western war versus Iraq and the Middle East. There's a strengthened movement against global power of materialism, establishment of new expression of spirituality, intuition-based living, my spiritual remote viewing stuff, dowsing, a revival of the Mayan calendar, spiritual teachings. And the night, day three night, now goes from 2003 to 2004. It was the transit of Venus, where Venus actually comes across the face of the sun. That was on June 8th of 2004, which is then crucial for preparing the unifying synthesis of what's beginning now, the fourth day. So the fourth day started December 4th of 2004 and ended November 28th of 2005, so just exactly a month ago. Once again, formulation of the core synthesis, this is a proliferation now, between East and West, between spirituality and rationality, which I said, once again, is all is one, life has purpose, God is love, we should make up bumper stickers of that. And now, from November 29th, 2005 to November 23rd of 2006, we now have the dissemination of this unifying synthesis. Now, once it disseminates and starts functioning literally in the genetics of everybody, the budding is then going to start November 24th of 2006. And this budding, the flower literally budding, is now going to be breakthrough of new advanced forms of the unifying synthesis, a beginning of the manifestation of galactic Christ consciousness. I think that there's going to be everything from earthquakes to massive problems with energy to social riots to overthrows of governments, you know, this huge amount of chaos that's going to begin to fracture the material world, that's going to start allowing people to start coming together. And, of course, the night of the budding, and this is when it gets really bad, whenever you have the heart chakra opening and all of these things happening, the bad guys step in and start, with fear and war. So from November 19th, 2007 to November 12th of 2008, that's when things are going to get bad. That's when you'll see, I think in that time frame, you'll see the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem blown to smithereens. the rebuilding of the Second Temple of Solomon, a massive war, Israel and the United States versus the Middle East. But that's going to be there's a deep crisis for global materialistic culture, based on the collapse of economies, the collapse of the old oil structure. There's going to be a destructive reaction, and this is where Armageddon comes in. This is literally where Armageddon is predicted by the Aztecs, that the European Union and Germany are going to be at the center of the drama, and quite possibly maybe there'll be a war between the United States and Europe and Germany over the resources of the Middle East. Day six, the flowering, starts November 13th of 2008, and this is a renaissance of, once again, advanced unifying synthesis. The tense coexistence between the East and the West, between new spirituality and the remnants of the global materialistic power. This ends November 7th of 2009, and then the night of the sixth day is a resting period in preparation for attaining balance between the East and the West. Now, there's a second harmonic convergence, too, because the harmonic convergence that occurred in 1987, the second harmonic convergence occurs May 27th of 2010, and this will be the first experience of a galactic pulse of cosmic consciousness. And for those who took part in the 1987 harmonic convergence, as I did, and felt this pulse and saw the news pieces about angels coming out of people's TV sets and saw the waves of the Quetzalcoatl serpent, you know, rolling through their houses and saw the opening of this gate.
Hey, Sean, we levitated 60 people at a seminar on the top of the Jack Tar Hotel in San Francisco on that day.
It's going to be amazing, and it all wraps up.
Yeah.
The night of the sixth day, you know, once again, and then the beginning of the seventh day is from November 3rd, 2010 to October 28th of 2011. And this is final fruition. And this is when the budding and the sowing, the germination, the sprouting, the proliferation, the budding, the flowering all now bears fruit. And there's finally a balance between the East and the West. There's the end of control by one soul over another. And this will be the beginning of the universal underworld, and that actually happens February 11th of 2011, so it'll be 2/11/2011, and the development of non-dual cosmic consciousness. So, you know, in a word, Mr. Nice Person from Indiana, that's where it's all heading. And that's if you're looking at how this is going to spread and how the force is going to manifest itself and how this is all going to go, that's probably the most elegant way I can put it.
Well, yes, very good. And you spoke of both, you know, the Christ consciousness manifesting, and then quite a list of, you know, semi-horrific
well,
events.
Well, it's becoming physical, too. Remember, remember, for every intention, there's an equal and opposite counterintention.
Right. Exactly.
You're going to have Christ
anyway,
on the planet. You know, you're going to have. You know, you're going to have Lucifer on the planet at the same time.
Sure.
You're going to have indigo children coming in if you're going to have these, you know, the Christ consciousness, which started in 1933, literally coming in the clouds, as the Christians call it. The Christ consciousness claiming it came in the clouds. The atmosphere of the planet began to change in such a way that it began to change the DNA. And that's what Fred's devices do, the nuclear receptors and especially the projectors. They change and process the DNA, and I try to point out to people that there's only 4% difference. In other words, human beings, and there's only 4% of the chromosomal difference between chimpanzees and human beings. 4%. That's less than like 40,000 pieces of genetic material out of however many billions, and
You know, and speaking of, you know, what you were kind of laid out, the scenario, I suspect it will unfold quite like that. And with the thought of that our thoughts create our reality,
right?
Then would logic say that we would best spend our time thinking or going right directly to what you said at the very end about the unification with Christ consciousness or something of that?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
I'm saying...
the Christ consciousness is becoming physical. There's a whole race of kids being born now,
right,
starting in 1985, where... And this goes all along with the mystery schools and goes all along with the prophecies of the Great Pyramid of Giza and that that the Christ consciousness inundates the earth beginning in 1933. November 30th of 85 is when it starts becoming physical.
Mm-hmm.
The physical aspect is that a new generation of kids come in. You have first first you have the blue kids, then you have the indigo kids, and then you have the violet kids.
Right.
The blue kids started being born in 85. The violet kids, the indigo kids started being born, well, I don't know, between 95 and about 2000 or so.
Mm-hmm.
The next phase is going to be the violet kids. And
Well, I guess more succinct.
I mean, the real mysticism of the Book of Revelation is where are the 144,000?
Well, true.
And,
true.
Yeah, you know, who are the army in white, and what exactly activates the 12,000 from each tribe of Israel? And these 12,000 from all 12 tribes, 144,000. Then there are multitudes upon multitudes who then follow these genetically activated people.
Mm-hmm.
An army in white, if you will,
right.
You know, Jedi Knights or what have you, literally the return of the Jedi. And
I guess I can word it a little better.
Pardon me?
Now. So, you know, within this framework, you know, is there a chance to mediate it? What can we do to mediate this? I know
we're doing this
kind of basic framework.
Like this, you're listening to programs like this, you're disseminating this kind of information. The people who who participated in the harmonic convergence in 1987, those people directly had to do with, if there were only 144,000 people that would greet the dawn on those 3 days in peace and love, then all of the Mayan catastrophes would be pulled down by a factor of 10. The Edgar Cayce catastrophes, much of what he saw is occurring, but not in the magnitude that he saw it occurring.
Right.
So,
well, you told a story in the seminar about the Golden Gate Bridge kind of mediating a disaster out there.
And, you know, at the same time, Edgar Cayce predicted that he made a big prediction in 1930, that in 1936 that there would be a gigantic quake, that it would wipe out San Francisco, that the bay would be expanded, and he reneged on that prediction, saying that people specifically had focused enough positive energy on the building of the Golden Gate Bridge that that they managed to actually transmute the negative energy in San Francisco into something positive. Edgar Cayce did also say, though, that Adolf Hitler was going to be the Messiah, and to some people he was, and but that certainly didn't work out very well. So I mean, Edgar, and I know I think it was Winfrey, I think, was just on before, talking about David and the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and all that. And I've met David and had a very, very nice fellow. And Cayce is, once again, Casey's always said that mind is the builder, and that the spirit's the creator, that mind is the builder, and that we, through mind, can change all of these realities. There would be no point in prophecy or prophets that could be changed.
Yes.
And at least those with the eyes to see and the ears to hear get the message and are warned ahead of time, and that's usually a very, very small percentage of the population. But, the majority of prophets are, Isaiah was sawed in half, and, Daniel got fed to lions, even though he, escaped the pit, and, most prophets, John the Baptist was beheaded. The worst job in the world is prophecy, because if you're right, nobody likes you, and if you're wrong, nobody likes you. So it's the bottom line is nobody likes you.
Well, that's why we have the projector systems. We're going to make it all happen the way it's supposed to.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yes, I imagined a network of people with quad systems working kind of in conjunction around the planet.
Yeah, they work very well together. That's a scalar wave system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And programming them for common goals, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, gentlemen. Splendid to hear it. I love the unifying synthesis.
Maybe the best way to get it out there is the American form of communication, the bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Let's get somebody to just make up bumper stickers of these things and just start handing them out.
Yeah.
BBS Radio. Yeah,
well, that's it. And I was so glad to hear, you mentioned it last time you were on Coast to Coast, and I'm so appreciative of both of you for offering us so much solution with all of the information of, say, the dark side that's yeah. going on. I think we spend far too much time on that.
Yeah, we like to put them. We like to carry spotlights around for dark forces.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, and you know, I mean, it could be said that putting a spotlight on the dark force actually increases them. Don't know.
You're gonna have to get a projector system soon. Try it out. See what you can do. And give us some feedback. We'll have you on as a caller in the future, you know.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I have a silver receptor and a fire dome. I set up a basic system for someone with the pyramid, and the star orb is the most incredible thing I've ever experienced. When the ground wires were hooked up.
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
Man, it just changed the energy of the entire place.
Yeah.
So, it is. It's tremendous equipment. Can't wait to get my hands on more of it. Bless you, gentlemen.
Okay, thanks a lot.
And
thanks.
Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you, too.
Bye-bye.
Get your kicks in 2006. Okay, Fred, we're coming up on 9:30 here, so.
You want to take off? Yeah, we better close the old show down here.
You know,
I'm not sure how long you had, so it's
we're probably the last main show tonight, right, Don?
Yeah, we're the last show, and we'll probably want to wrap it up here. I like the guy's questions.
Yeah, they were good questions.
And you had I love the way you unfolded some of the prophecy, and how you think things are going to likely turn out. Of course, again. He was saying, how do we how do we lessen the effect? And, of course, again, that's transmuting negative energies.
Right.
And so that's where people got to get on board.
They just got to know what they're doing.
It might not need to be lessened. Unfortunately, it's, you know, people need a, you know, the only thing that motivates people is a kick in the ass. And,
well, you know, it's funny because I always, and my brother adheres to a principle, and he says, if everybody would just be, then none of this negativity would occur. However, if everybody was just being, in other words, being justly, then instead of taking no action but taking proper action, then everything would be transmuted. However, being reactionary or taking a reaction, that's where things start to get messed up. So either you take action or no action by just being or just being, you can actually transmute these energies. But anyways, that's a story for another day.
Yeah, that's what we're getting in the projector technology now. And, of course, another show is the X1 healing machine is going to be on the way now. We're starting on that.
Oh, well, that's we've been talking about that for 30 years now, haven't we?
Yeah, we're starting on it now.
So I'm glad you're finally getting all this stuff in gear, Fred. It's about time.
Yeah, it takes a while because I'm so limited here by, you know, people that I had 5 NASA rocket scientists on the doing the CNC plan so we could carve out the first projector because it's. Even at NASA, they didn't make this demand even for spaceship parts that we had on these strange reverse curves with pyramids going at 52 degrees on the negative curve.
Right.
It just couldn't handle that. Computers didn't know what to do.
Right.
So that it took years and thousands of dollars just to get the plans, you know, the computer stuff done. But we got it done. We figured out a way to do it. I think now I got to get some patents. On my next stage, I'm going to get some. I'm starting patent technology now on this, like I did the receptor. That's coming right up.
Right.
So anyhow, that was a fun show.
Thank you.
And you know what, Don? I think we need to do a BBS radio bumper sticker. What do you think? I think that would be cool, and put some crazy slogan along with it.
I like it.
I'm serious. I think Sean's onto it, you know? I really like it. And you know what? We'd have these things all over the place. BBS, you know, like I have a saying, I got mine at Paradigm. You know, or you feel right at home in your paradigm. Well, we got to come up with some really cool something at BBS Radio. I got blah, 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 bbsradio.com, you know, just where it rhymes and it's crazy. And it wakes people up, maybe make it in bright colors or something. I think it's a brilliant idea. Well, I thought of it, Sean.
there you go.
Yeah. All right, well.
BBS, no, you know, all truth, no BS. I don't know, something like that.
You'll come up with something.
Yeah.
Don, I think we should assign Sean for that. What do you think?
Sure, believable BS.
Yeah. Yeah, believable BS. There you go. All right, well,
yeah.
Hey kids, Happy New Year. And like I said, get your kicks in 2006. Pick up sticks in 2006. Get your licks in 2006.
Yeah.
USC, third national championship, undefeated. Team of the decade. We're going to the Rose Bowl. And we're going to beat the crap out of Texas, which would be fun. So I'll tell you guys.
Excited about that.
Believe yourself.
No, please do beat them.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole country wants us to just beat the crap out of Texas. Oh, we will. Don't worry.
Yeah.
So, it'll be a gang of fun.
Yeah. All right, John. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, kids. God bless you. Happy New Year. And all is one. Life has purpose. God is love. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night. You there?
Yeah. Are we off the air now?
Oh, no.
Okay. I want to close it down, and then I'll talk to you a little bit. But
okay.
Can you put some Dr. Bell music on or some music on? I've actually got some other music that I'll have to send you soon coming up. I'm also going to create a BBS theme, too, when I get a chance. Would you like that?
Oh, definitely. Kind of I think we need one of your hot supermodels on that bumper sticker.
Yeah, we could do that.
Look, you know.
Yeah, we could do that.
One of those really hot ones, you know, that the what's that one lady that you always mention?
Xenia?
No, oh, Elizabeth?
Xenia or, I don't know, there's a bunch. We'll pick up somebody. We can get about anybody.
Need a really beautiful looking lady on that bumper sticker.
Yeah, with BBS radio all over.
Right there.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
I know.
No, I actually had in mind to, you know, as we get roll into this new year, we're going to start marketing quite heavy because it's time. And
T-shirts would be good, too.
T-shirts would be good.
Yeah. For the girls, a pre-wedded one.
Pre-wedded?
Yeah, T-shirt.
Really? You think they sell those?
I think so. Anyhow, no, we'll have some fun. We need some, you know, we can't obviously sell anything on the blog and service website, but BBS Radio, we could put things up to promote the whole show. That would be fine.
Yeah, and for all the listeners out there who think that we advertise, because I get a lot of requests for advertisements, and we get several million hits a day, believe that, and it's overwhelming, but we get tons of emails, a lot of requests to advertise, and deals to be made, and I'm going to just emphasize this. We don't all advertise... All advertisement on the website is done. We'll wait for that to go away here.
Yeah.
All advertisement on the website is basic. There we go. All advertisement. You know what? I don't think this guy's going to let us go without getting on the air.
Okay, we'll do one more.
All right.
Hello? Is anybody there? Anyway, Don, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I talked him out of wanting to get on the line. I said, we're just being mean and ornery right now, so you don't want to talk to us. But, you know, the media or the people that come to us for our website, folks, we don't make a dollar. None of us here at Blogging Service makes $1 on anything that's advertised on our website. Not a dollar. We don't ask for donations. We don't take any sponsorships. We don't take any paid advertisements at all whatsoever. And I don't know if we're going to in the future or not. You know, we're trying to come from the best place we can in our heart, and there may come a time in this coming year where it becomes necessary because of the growth and the expenditures that that a few of us, well, actually mainly me, is incurring, and it's getting pretty weighty. But right now I can still manage it, and with the people that are with me, we're just trying to do the best we can. So, you know, with those advertisement requests and everything, you know, we ignore them, really, and some of them we send emails back saying thanks, but no thanks. So anyway, since we do have a large listener base out there, I thought I'd mention that. Maybe word will get around that we're really not interested in taking advertisers of any form right now. So.
Yeah, well, that's good. So anyway, with that, I guess we could close the show down and launch this Figure 8 New Year right on in so we can get to work. Few hours, I can get back to work here and on the new year. Take a quick break, about 20 minutes, and hit it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that we're going to have a little New Year's here with the kids, my family, and shoot off a few fireworks, and I'll kiss the wife, and
it'll be good.
It'll be great.
Of course, it's pouring down rain here in Laguna right now, which I guess we could probably do fireworks here, but they're real paranoid over here in California about anything about fireworks anymore. But you guys had a lot of fires over there, I guess, too.
Yeah, we've had a good majority up here in north of Houston, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you want to, leave your phone turned on, I'll listen to the firecrackers go off. I'll just put them on a loudspeaker and blast them around the neighborhood. Called fireworks by phone, baby.
You know, it's going to be a good year. It's going to be an interesting year. I still, you know, no matter what I hear about prophecy, I still like what you wrote in your book.
Oh, yeah, I know. I understand that. And that's Sean's view, too. Believe me, we've had long talks about that.
Oh, yeah.
We've had deep talk. That's why he's so much into this. Dude, he's coming from a point, he sees all these things that are negative.
Yeah.
That could happen. I look through his eyes and see the potential, and I say, I'll fix that. Give me another prophecy. I'll take care of it, you know. So I take care of them pretty quick around here, you know. We stopped all the big earthquakes in California back in 92. I even called Sean 2 o'clock in the morning. We didn't bring this up. The night we had the big Northridge quake, which really nobody really got hurt even. It was destabilizing. It occurred at 4. And I called Sean that very night. It was in February, I believe, January, February. And I called him that very night and said at 2 o'clock, and I says, I don't know what's going on tonight. You know, you're the prophecy guy, but we're going to have something big tonight come down because the Andromedans are here.
Yeah.
And they're gonna stabilize this goddamn place. And they sure did.
Yeah.
We ain't had a good earthquake since then, you know.
Do you still hear me?
Huh?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, good. Yeah, I just switched on the other system. Anyways, I like Sean. I mean, he's quite an informative and interesting fella.
He's got a very high IQ.
Yeah.
I know his mother very well. I've worked with her for years. And his stepfather. I never met his real father. But very brilliant guy. He's a USC graduate. He's becoming very successful in the movie industry, and he's also very successful with other things he's doing.
Yeah. Well, I'll enjoy getting to know him and hopefully working with him in the near future.
Yeah, I think he'll be part of our
organization.
Yeah, once we get that thing down south of that island deal we're working on done, then we can start focusing on some real deals here.
Yeah.
He's out here in California, right down the street from me. He's in Redondo Beach.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
So he's a neighbor, and he's in the process of installing a big holographic projector system, and he uses my stuff. And he approaches it from a different level than I do, a different complete way of thinking. But he's very original.
Right.
And he doesn't copy me. That's a lot of people will copy me. He doesn't. He comes from, if he can't get it himself, he don't bother with it. And that's what I like about him.
Yeah, I liked him. I thought, what a wonderful guy to have on the program.
Yeah, so I want to see if you want to have him do his own show here and see if he wants to, you know.
If he wants to do his own program, we'll find the time for him.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I'll talk to him about it. And because you'll have, he's a major draw. He's got a huge following from Art Bell. He's one of the, he and I were probably the two biggest draws over there, you know, as far as when we did a show, either one of us, the most listeners would be there.
Yeah, well, I just think he's got a lot of good things to say, and I think it's important that people know that, a different point of view, because my point of view is just one, and there are so many, and that's why I love to have such a diversity of people on BBS Radio, because people can always take what they like and leave the rest.
Yeah.
And attune with some and not with others, but it's still all leading to an awareness-building type of network, and that's really key, I think.
Yeah, it is. And what I've seen so far with working with was it Doc Brooke, Agnew Brooke, or what's his name?
Oh, Dr. Agnew, wonderful guy.
Yeah, I really like him a lot.
X-Squared Radio.
And then I like Lynn Horowitz. I like to see him focus a little bit more on the, you know, on the back on the virus stuff, which I'm sure he will. And then the rest of the crew, I like you and Wynn's show, and then Rob, of course, I met him now a few times off the air, and he's really amazing. I can't wait to see what he produces. And you know, we got some experts here. I mean, not only are they experts, but in the field of dreams, where income is made, third ray and green energy money field, they make their living from what they do on their shows. You know, not by the show, but by their, that's what they were doing before they got here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes it really interesting. Not people, it's not a bunch of wannabes. Wannabes are great, but we right now in this group, we need to have people that are doing it. You know,
well, we know we got some good people coming on here in the near term, including Dr. Ann West, and
looking. She's amazing.
Yeah,
she's amazing. That when she comes on board, that'll be a. She's got that female energy is amazing through her. She'll have a tremendous feminine kind of Mother Earth. But kind of transcendental Mother Earth approach. I have totally different, obviously, than any of the men, but
yeah.
And pretty much different than anybody on the whole show that I've heard so far. That's why I wanted her over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her shows aren't boring, I guarantee you. I've been on a lot of them over in Hawaii. And she'll probably bring the entire state of Hawaii with her, too, you know, because they all listen to her. So.
Well, we should probably, there's close off the air. I'm going to say goodnight to the listeners. Listeners, good night.
Happy New Year.
and really the happiest of New Year's to y'all. Tonight, get close to your families and give your kids an extra kiss and your wife an extra hug, or reverse that. And enjoy the heralding in of the new year and say goodbye to the old.
Yeah, it was a real interesting year, that's for sure. A lot of good things, though. We got BBS Radio in orbit. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I truly love it.
Yeah. Well, just remember, the impossible takes, we used to say 15 minutes longer. I think we got it down to about 12 now with the time changes.
Well, to our audience, there's still a huge number of people listening right now. So we're going to close her down. Good night. And God bless you all, and have a safe and joyous New Year's. And Dr. Bell, thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, all, as always. I wish you a wonderful New Year's to you and your family, and I believe they got back safe, right?
Yeah, they all got back. They flew back on a brand-new airplane that was the first flight for it. I guess, you know, probably Richard Branson was probably flying it, and... because it was Virgin, and they got back in 9 hours instead of 11.
Oh, wow.
They were back home on the Isle of Wight within 12 hours. From the time they left Laguna off the ground, they were on the Isle of Wight in their house, beautiful home they live in over there, and they were all there, and they're probably might even listen to the show right now.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Okay.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
See you next year.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.